Wisconsin is a state that is defined by water. There are thousands of lakes.
We're good.
Miles of rivers. And streams.
Get a couple casts.
And with water comes fish and fishing.
Like this one I got out
yeah,
just?
Like the, okay.
I think it's a live one.
Yeah, that's a slab. Oh, that's what
a
you
pretty
want.
Color
man.
On
look
you.
At that.
My grandfather took me out fishing. He loved the fish, and he didn't care, you know, if he caught anything, just as long as his line was in the water.
As long as your line's in the water.
If you've read Aldo Leopold's Sand County Almanac, I think one of his statements is, it's not the size of your catch, it's important, it's the chance. Just being out here.
I fish whenever I can. Not as much as I used to. It's just relaxing. I don't care if I never catch anything. Then I don't have to clean.
Today?
No, they got, I have a pail for her.
No, she got a whole pail for
her.
Hold
nine.
Up all your head up.
Nine? Wow.
No.
It's not the size of the catch that counts. It's the chance.
I'm trying to get a monster.
The chance to be out in this state defined by water. The chance to forge connections with friends. Within families.
My dad actively took me fishing in a little 12-foot John boat ever since I was 6 years old, probably. So I used to throw all of his expensive lures so high up into the trees that he finally got wise and started giving me cheaper tackle to fish with.
My mom took me when I was a little kid. Cane pole, get out there, and caught a lot of crappies. They're good fighters for a little kid.
Arm my wife with a paddle, although she never paddles.
I'm not allowed to paddle.
She paddles only when there's heavy headwind.
The chance to forge connections with the natural world. There's an old saying, I like fishing because of the places it takes you. Wisconsin is filled with those places. Places of water and fish and stories. Stories of people who share a common connection. They've all gone fishing.
Major funding for Gone Fishing is provided in part by the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. For more than a century, Wisconsin has been a prime destination for fishing fun and fresh air. The Wisconsin Department of Tourism has information to make everyone's time on the water the time of their life. And by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, managing Wisconsin's lakes, rivers, and streams for the fish within them and anglers from near and afar.
One. Look at her.
It's a Saturday morning in May. The bluegills are biting.
This is a good fishing place for a good day, actually.
A good day for Mark Weller of Wanakee, Wisconsin, and his two sons, Ian and Garrett.
Looks like you got a lot of seaweed.
To while away some time in the fine art of fishing.
Set. What are you doing? Oh, he got off. All right.
Unlike many in this state, Weller didn't grow up with a family tradition of fishing.
My father died when I was 7 years old, so I never had that father figure to sit down and say, here's how you hold the rod, this is what you're trying to do.
Okay, ready? He's coming back. You see him? There, perfect, excellent.
When Weller's oldest son was 3, he wanted to go fishing. Weller learned how to fish as a result of his son's interest, and now they're all hooked.
Here, have another one. Look at that. Oh, this is great.
Another
one. Oh, this is a little bigger size. There we go, we got a fighter.
Whoa!
We got a fighter.
Oh, big one.
There you go.
Well, I like being outdoors. I like to hear water. You're just sitting there, and then suddenly your bobber goes down, and then you have a huge thrill.
That thrill may be the lure of fishing, but every fisher person catches so much more, learns so much more.
It's a bluegill because, like, it has a lot of blue stripes and has, like, a blue spot, like, right there.
There is the friendly competition.
Oh, stand back. I got this one.
The disappointments.
Got him! Had him. Oh, he just went away. Hey! Got one!
Yeah, that's a small gear.
Very small.
A few lessons in the relativity of size.
That's a good one. That's a good size, actually.
But most of all, there's the chance to be together in a good fishing place. On a good day.
Got one!
I didn't.
I got a pumpkin seed.
To be out here. It's a beautiful day in Wisconsin's North Woods. The autumn leaves have just begun to turn. For many in this state, the annual trip up north is a kind of pilgrimage. Every year, Weller joins that trail. He makes the time to take the trek north to go fishing.
This is heaven. It really is that place in the world where I can escape, where all those urban pressures and all the kind of day-to-day grunge in life that everyone faces, even all your own personal devils that no one ever talks about for the hour or two or five or whatever it is I'm fishing, those go away. So I can kind of enter into this other world where, you know, I can look at birds, I can look at the vegetation. I don't have those pressures of answering the phone and dealing with other folks. And geez, maybe if I catch a fish in the process, that's just gravy. That's just fun on top of it all.
Weller didn't have a dad to show him how to fish. Instead, he has a North Woods mentor and friend in Martin Hansen.
Let's see what it does in the water.
All right, here we go.
Boy, you threw that a long way.
He's an older gentleman who has been kind and gentle enough to say, this is how you do it, this is what you ought to be thinking about when you do it, and here's some tips. That's magnificent to have someone who kind of takes you under their wing and shares that kind of knowledge.
It's knowledge gained from over 60 years of Northwoods fishing.
I was a little kid, you know. I could throw a lure with a casting rod at 7, 8 years old and hit right on the mark.
It's knowledge that comes from a lifelong connection with the land.
There's an old rhyme, you know, when the wind is from the north, the fish come forth. When it's from the east, it's the least. From the west, it's the best. In the south, that's when they'll take it in their mouth. So a southwest wind adds up to be the best around here for bass. Needs to be a gentle wind, and it's better before a rainstorm. But there's every rule you can make, and then the rule is there to be broken.
The places that fishing can take you, and what that place can evoke.
Fishing is really two things to me. One is the notion of catching a fish and getting it into the boat, but the other one is a sense of place. Where you fish, what's going on around you, what's the scenery look like, what are the birds doing, what does a place sound like? All of those other elements is, to me, what fishing is really about. You're in the natural world. If you're in a boat and if you're paying attention, you're going to learn something, regardless if you put a fish in the boat or not.
It's a place to learn, to let go, to have some adventures.
You're going to have a nice day. It'll be good for muskies.
Good. That's phase two. Martin, you catch me a muskie.
Hmm?
I say, if you catch me a muskie,
I think we'll catch one.
That day, Weller begins to take part in a Northwoods tradition. The pursuit of the elusive muskie, the fish of 10,000 casts. The quest begins, and the adventure is what happens along the way.
Fishing out there where you look behind your shoulder and suddenly you see a cloud, a fog kind of filling the gorge, covering the river, engulfing you. You know, it's just one of those kind of moments that unless you stop from your day-to-day hubbub of life and look around you, you kind of miss that kind of stuff. Fishing puts you in those kinds of elements.
In the elements, chasing muskie. Some fishers chase them for years.
Sometimes you're fooled. Just go fishing, keep the lure in the water, you'll find you catch one.
The day after we left Mark Weller, he caught one. Or so he claims. We think it's a true fish story about the fish of 10,000 casts.
Oh, and he's gone.
Just a little bit, but it looks like a nice day, though. Man.
Yeah.
I think it's going
to
be a good day.
Should be able to get into some fish.
Fishing adventures abound in this state. Far from the North Woods, 30 minutes, in fact, from Milwaukee, is Lake Namabin.
And you know what's nice? Everybody out here.
Yeah. So I love fishing during the week.
Yeah.
Another place of connection and escape. And at the heart of it is fishing.
Yeah, there we go. They're feasting themselves on minnows down here.
Gorging themselves.
Yeah.
Two friends, Jesse Ray of Wauwatosa and Mike Nelson of Delavan.
I'm getting bumps out there.
It was fishing that brought them together.
We met out here.
Yeah.
Mike loves fishing. I love fishing.
Yeah.
That's how we met.
They met on this lake 10 years ago. They fish. They talk about fish.
I don't care to depend on my drag.
Ooh, I like.
Just for the hook set. And then I always hit my back reel.
Yeah.
And, you know, that way if
so
he wants to make a lunge,
hook.
I just, you know, see, give like, him line back.
I like playing that fish.
They talk about fishing and the rest of life.
I mean, those bluegills, man, they fight like hurt, like a baby. You know when a baby gets all upset? Those bluegills would fight like that.
I like to forget those days.
But most importantly, they spend time together. That's not to say there isn't a little fishing rivalry between the two.
That's a nice little bass.
Sure.
Nelson starts the day with a bass.
A great size for the kids to catch. They love catching them.
Yes,
it's fun.
That's beautiful. That's easy.
Within 10 minutes, Ray counters with a bluegill.
That's the kind you clean up and make some nice potato chips out of. Yeah, Michael. Now we even. Yeah, you put your bass back, but this bluegill may have to be dead.
Oh, wait. Whoa.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
No, you didn't, did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, cut
oh,
it out.
Nice bass. Just
lift it on up.
Ray ups the ante.
Yeah, that's a nice bass, yeah. Mike.
A little bit bigger.
Now, go ahead and kiss him like Jimmy Houston did. Come on,
yeah,
Ray.
You kiss him first.
Okay, I kiss
you. Kiss him first. We have a great time. Every time we get together, we have fun. We catch fish. He shares his knowledge with me. I share mine with him. We always get fish.
That's right.
And that's what it's all about.
That's right. That's right. That is what it's all about.
These two end the day with the tally pretty even up. Ray keeps the bluegills. It's catch and release on the bass.
Relax. I don't want to hurt you. Relax. Relax. I won't hurt you. I'll put you back. Get big.
Ray has a tradition. When he's done with his fishing day, he takes his bluegills and heads to Milwaukee's Washington Park.
I give the fish to people who are fishing in these ponds because a lot of times, especially in the late summer, the fish that are in these ponds aren't very big at all. And these people are just like, they're out here really fishing for substance. They want to take these fish home and eat. They want a fish fry. How y'all doing? Good, good. Say, listen, I got some bluegills. I got my share. Y'all want some of these? I like that in you, brother. Hey, young man. You been fishing today? Yeah? All right. Hey, listen. I got a lot of fish. I've been catching them all day. You want some of these? I got a few you can have. Look at this. Look at that. Let me see. See that? Some nice bluegills, huh? You grab that bluegill, and you want to grab them from the front, and they all going to fall down. See, it all falls down then.
It's a chance to make connections, to share his knowledge about fishing with a much younger fishing friend.
This will get you with a bluegill. See these here? So you know what? You go on your top, get from the top, you grab that bluegill.
Oh.
That was perfect. Right. That's how you hold them.
All right.
That's how you
that
put beautiful. Them in your
passing it on. It's an important part of what fishing's all about. But it's just one part.
If I don't catch anything, it's not going to matter today. Because as long as I'm not in the city, I'm out here, this wind's catching me. It's fresh air. Good company. Cut it out, Michael. Don't be catching anything. And I can just be out here. This is God's country, man. I'm having a good time. There's nothing better.
Today, the grasshoppers and ants and beetles might be good for fishing.
Fishing can sometimes involve a fair amount of fussing. Fly fishing in particular.
Sierra. Which direction did I put this on again? You're gonna want to reel with your left hand.
Bam. The two women here, getting their gear together, consist of an old pro and an eager novice.
No, I reel with my right hand.
Okay.
Or do I reel with my left hand?
I think you reel with your left hand.
I'm trying to remember. It's been a while.
Sarah Johnson and Stephanie Lindloff. Both will tell you that you don't need a wad of cash to hit Wisconsin's creeks and streams.
My first pair of waders I got for $19 at Kmart with an old pair of tennis shoes and a borrowed rod. So you don't have to have a bunch of stuff.
What is necessary is a great enthusiasm for learning.
And we'll get right down in here and fish right up around the corner to right up in there. And we took some fish out of there the other day.
What were you taking out, browns?
Yep.
And learning.
Okay. What would you like to put on?
Lots of learning.
Yellow might work.
It's hard to tell, though, what worked a couple weeks ago with the change in temperature in the air.
Yeah, it's really cooled down in the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. Come on, little guys. What we're trying to imitate is something falling out of the vegetation.
Oh.
Okay, lift quickly. There you go. With the current, the boulders, it requires tremendous balance, timing, hand-eye coordination. And it goes way beyond that get a knowledge of the insects and the fish and where they're going to feed at different times of the day, if the sun's high or low. You have to learn to read water. I was introduced to Wisconsin really by learning its streams.
Johnson used to work in Washington, D.C., a place not really known for fishing. In fact, Johnson knew very little fishing in her past.
So I grew up in the city. My dad didn't take me fishing. Typically, hunting and fishing are passed down from father to son, and you're more likely to fish if you grew up in a rural area versus an urban area.
So how to start? 10 years ago, Johnson and a friend tried their hand at fishing. There was a problem.
I didn't know what to do when we caught the fish, and I didn't feel comfortable with just letting it suffocate or die. And so we ended up not fishing that day, but she spread the word around that I was looking for someone to teach me how to fish. And so I got a call from a friend of ours who said, "Would you like to come over and see some fly fishing videotapes?" And I didn't realize it really at the time, but it turned out to be a date.
What a line.
The romance began, and Johnson was hooked instantly.
The first time I caught a fish, it was on Blackers Creek, right outside of Madison, and I just totally unexpectedly cried, and that was it for me. That was it.
To be outdoors in this corner of Wisconsin.
I forgot I had hip roots on. What better way to spend an afternoon than out in a place like this?
An afternoon in pursuit of a particular experience.
I don't feel like this is going to be a very successful day.
I would be telling a story if I didn't tell you that when there's a fish on, when that fish strikes, that there's something that happens inside that is very exciting. I mean, there's a rush of adrenaline, and you remember that, and it feels good, and so you want to do it again. Oh, there he is!
We got one.
He's going to be a... come on, little guy, get out of there so we don't mess it up.
But to catch that experience, to catch these fish, is no easy task.
And under the vegetation. Come on out of there. I'm going to go over there.
Stinker.
Fish in this creek are wild, not stocked, and very wary of humans.
Dive in for cover.
Yeah.
He's pooped out.
No, maybe not.
The more you know, the better your luck.
Come on. Hold on.
Trout fishing is one of those sports, fly fishing in general is one of those sports that people that have been fishing for 20 plus years still think that they have a lot to learn. Boy, you've got a lot of bugs around you.
Can you see? Oh, gosh.
Should try to get one.
I think they're blue-winged olives.
Yeah, they look like it. I'm not seeing any hoppers in the water, though. What is it about the cool weather? They're just not as active?
Yeah, it makes them less active. Or any sudden change in weather.
Should I fish this bank?
Yeah, but you're gonna have to stay low.
Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna be getting anything over here. Actually, I'm gonna go over this way.
I realized that I was very fortunate to have several people willing to take me out and spend the time with me to teach me what they'd learned over years and years and years.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
I want to try to help Steph have those same opportunities, one. And two, it's just fun to have a buddy to fish with and somebody who, you know, appreciates the same things about it that you do.
How are you doing? I've always had a passion for water, and so I just naturally gravitated towards the most beautiful freshwater resource that we have, which is cold water, and the fish that live in it.
Wisconsin is graced with over 40,000 miles of rivers and streams and over 1,000 miles of spring-fed creeks, suitable for trout habitat, suitable for this pursuit, which results, of course, in the making of memories.
You know, 6 months from now, we won't remember how many fish we caught. We'll remember that day that we went fishing and, you know, so-and-so fell in, or
there was a hatch
and how beautiful it was, and remember when the shadows were long and the time that you spend together and the things you laugh about. That's what you remember.
No, we definitely plant it all year. It's all I think about all during the year. I have pictures of like sunsets and of a cap and right above my desk at work. So it's something I'm watching every day. Yeah, I'd feel terrible if I couldn't at least come up once a year.
Every year, at least once every year, Mike Taglin of Omaha, Nebraska, travels to Wisconsin to spend a week fishing with his old friend, Barry Carlson of Madison. The target this trip, muskies. The place is always the same, up north.
We both really have an affinity for this area up here. I mean, it's so absolutely beautiful. So, I mean, just to be out on the water and be able to have this kind of scenery and stuff is almost overwhelming sometimes.
They both have an affinity for fishing and the ways in which fishing can connect friends.
Sometimes being out on the water, it's sort of like how when you're in the dark, you can talk about things that you can't talk about face to face, maybe. You talk about stuff that I think is freeing, too. I kind of like that.
This is myself and my friend Mike in 1980 in Omaha, Nebraska. It used to be art that was our common bond. and we still appreciate and talk about art, and he paints still, and so we connect in that way, but fishing is something that has pretty much replaced that.
Fishing has become a place of connection for these two friends. It has also become a point of departure for Carlson's paintings.
And right now I'm going to have to push back some of these clouds in the background that are too dominant here. They need to be much lighter.
The light, the color in the North Woods, the water, the sky, that experience has become an integral part of Carlson's work.
You know, when I go out and take photos and stuff for my paintings as well, I tend to choose the times of the day that the light's in transition between full light and a departing light or a waning light.
I always check my photos when I get back, and I'll always find a few new skies, and then I can oftentimes plug skies into different settings.
Fishing has given Carlson much more than a few skies.
I wouldn't be making these paintings if I didn't fish.
Fishing has opened up new worlds, new ways of seeing.
It teaches me, I guess, that anything is possible. When I look at some other things that I paint, I think, well, that's not really believable, because, you know, I wouldn't imagine that you could possibly see this kind of color in the water. I'll sometimes see a reflection that doesn't look like it belongs there, but you go out on the water enough time and you'll see, you know, purple water, green water, blue water, and red water, and things that don't really make sense, but because they're in front of you, you say, well, that's believable.
Wow. Ready, Gridley?
Up north, what's in front of you can change in an instant. A day starts in sun, and within an hour, it's snowing. It's snowing, and Carlson has a new experience netted from fishing to capture in his paintings.
That's something that's in my memory banks. I did get a couple photos, but the photos don't even represent the day.
To capture an experience, remember a time. Carlson was an only child. Every year, he and his parents would travel from Omaha, Nebraska, to the North Woods for a week of fishing with relatives. That place, that time, looms large in his memory.
It was a connecting time. I can still remember, you know, all we did basically is go out in these little 14-foot long boats with the Johnson or Mercury 20-horse motor, and we'd put a minnow on, toss it out, and troll, you know. Rarely would my dad ever cast. He always, until I was older, he would be the guy who'd drive. I could just see him, you know, holding the tiller and having his pole over his shoulder and doing this.
Carlson's father has passed on, but the power of that time, that 1 week each summer, still holds.
I mean, it plays this gigantic place in my imagination and sense of self.
And his paintings. Carlson calls his current series Memory's Window. The way an experience is framed, looking back at a time and place across the distance of years.
I think it's a sense of loss, trying to recapture things that you treasured at one time or another and maybe didn't recognize at the time.
And I think oftentimes, you know, Dad would have loved the fact that I have a boat now.
Carlson has two children, Karsten and Frida.
Okay, and you're just going to send this thing out, cast it.
Poor stroke.
Time spent fishing is an essential part of their family.
because it kind of gets shallow out there and then deeper and then shallower again.
Where did I put the hook, Dad?
Where did you put the hook?
I know.
I'm just trying to give them some of the things that I had. And he would have loved sharing it. You know, it would have been fun for him to come up and be with the kids and go out with me. That's, you know, the thing that I guess I miss is that I didn't have the chance to really voice my appreciation for some of his talents and some of his patience.
Let it fall to the bottom and drag it real slowly, just like it's walking across the bottom.
Returning the favor, giving his children the gift of time spent fishing.
I gotta have my lucky hat on.
No, that's not your lucky hat.
I can't find my real lucky hat.
I just like being out in the open, fresh air, and I love the water, and there's always something to look at.
This is the Mississippi, the biggest river in the country. Flowing, moving, with water poured down from hundreds of streams and tributaries. It's a place of strong currents, beautiful views, and some great fishing. And for many who come here, this is the fish of choice, the catfish. If the North Woods has its muskie, Lake Michigan, rainbow trout, the Mississippi has the catfish.
Here we go.
This is the place. This is the kind of fishing that Gene Ames and his wife Barb of Potosi, Wisconsin, enjoy best.
Just fun, relaxing, and challenging, catching more than my friends, mostly.
He does a good job. If you can keep him out of the beer batter, he likes to drink the beer batter, so we gotta...
One of his friends, also from Potosi, is Harry Blindert.
Now, Gene there, I think one day he lost two poles.
We should have wore our hip boots.
These longtime river rats are passionate about fishing, crazy about catfish.
For one thing, say it's the most relaxing fishing there is.
You just lean back and wait for the pole to jump, and hopefully it won't jump out of the boat.
We're ready, if they are. That's all I fish for is catfish. I don't fish anything else.
Blindert used to be big on bass fishing. No longer.
It's a lot of work, you know, they say bass fishing, a lot of work. You're moving, you're casting. And catfishing more relaxing, like now. Throw your pole out, sit back, wait for a bite.
It's a wonderfully simple sport. Catfish can be caught with very little. Blindert no longer needs his lures.
I've probably got, I would say probably $500 to $600 worth of lures and stuff in my tackle box that I never use.
What has taken their place is something called stink bait.
This has got blood in it. Now, this is the stuff that smells like the bottom of the earth.
It's a paste, slathered over a sponge and hook, and made from very rancid materials, like year-old fermented cheese, It's called stink bait for a reason.
Ah! See for yourself. It's sticky. It's stinky. It has to stink because catfish are strictly on smell.
And plenty of rags on this type of fishing.
Can you still smell it on your skin after you've been fishing?
For days.
And this is what attracts them, by smell, all smell. So if you got the right smell, you'll get them to you.
Don't get too close.
Don't get too close. It's like glue. I got so much stink baits running in my veins and the mice are following me around. No.
Some are on the river to kick back and relax. It's different for Keith Turner of Potosi. The river is his home and also a place of work.
We got one coming up.
And he, too, is crazy for catfish.
I was learned this way by an old commercial fisherman. And that's the way I always did it. My boys did this way, too. Here's a nice one. We'll take him.
Turner has been fishing these waters for nearly 50 years. He worked two jobs for years. The second one was catching catfish, commercially, and selling them.
Yeah, he's lazy.
Which places Turner right in the heart of Mississippi River culture. In this corner of southwestern Wisconsin, the catching and selling of catfish is part of the local history, the local color. It's what local people know and remember.
Years back, when I first started set line down this area in 65, you'd be lucky to find a place on this landing here on a Saturday morning. On weekends, a lot of them was out here on this landing. Now, it's me and another guy about the only one that uses it.
The numbers fishing these waters for catfish may have dwindled, but the process remains the same. It starts on dry land, in Turner's garage. Hundreds of hooks are strung on a line and wrapped across an old wooden frame. This is the set line. Each hook must be baited and slotted into the box. The bait is gray crickets.
If I get back swinging the way I want, we'll be using 800 a day, so...
This kind of fishing is hard work. It's fraught with obstacles and requires a great deal of skill and effort. Set lines must be let out.
You gotta have three arms and a couple legs to run these out.
And then hauled back in. Even the fish themselves are a problem, with those painful stingers.
When you get them thorns in your fingers is what hurts. You grab there, there's a bad thorn right there, you can feel it. And one right there. And they've got saws on them like.
The river is full of surprises. Trees fell decades ago still hang around as submerged stumps. Turner has to know this river.
What
just happened?
Took another stone.
It can sometimes be a very bumpy ride.
Yeah, you see some wicked storms coming around out here. I've been in three of them in my lifetime. I've had waves come right over the bow, right over top of me up here.
The Mississippi commands respect. It can be a dangerous place.
You're getting caught in the fog out here, especially in this area after I leave that stump. You don't know where you're at. You don't want to get away in them barges because they can be on you and you don't know it.
What would happen?
Probably run you down.
Turner has an extra burden. Despite all of his years on the river, he doesn't know how to swim. He's fallen in 3 times in 50 years. Still, he stays, pulling up his set lines, checking his nets.
A year ago, I run 100 nets. I had to be on the river every day. I didn't get a day off. And I decided, time is getting short, you know, I'm getting older. If I sold enough that I only could go 3 days, I'd have my 4th day, I could go to Dubuque and play a little blackjack. Says, Keith, you quit the river, they just about start digging your grave, because that's where you'll be. He said, you've lived on that river. I have. I've lived on it. Probably 80% of my time's been on this river when I'm awake.
The places that fishing can take you, and what happens while you fish.
When you get on the river, you just relax. That's what I do. I mean, I feel at home on the river. You're at ease. When I work my full-time job at Deer's, come home after 8 hours in there and jump in that boat after I eat supper and go to the river, just another world. Relax. That's it.
But fishing for catfish is only part of this story. For part of Mississippi River culture, a very tasty part, is the cooking of catfish.
Make sure you have your oil at 350 degrees or above, or you won't have good fish.
Take a big black iron skillet,
okay,
and put it over a fire, get it just about gray, and then throw in some butter and season your catfish fillet and slide her across the pan a couple of times, and it's done. We're going to go to the catfish feed tomorrow.
The catfish feed. Keith Turner helped launch the very first one over 30 years ago.
First one we had is 200 pounds of fish. And we used the good old Potosi beer to make the batter.
All of us guys here, we all seem to get along pretty good, except for me and Charlie. We usually fight. Ryan's out here. Iron frog here, you betcha.
The firemen's wives fix it, and with potato salad and coleslaw, all you can eat, and they serve from 11 till 5. And that's how they get their money to buy their equipment. It's a big day for them.
The catfish feed. Every year, the town of Potosi, Wisconsin, puts on a catfish feed, a fish fry featuring their fish, the catfish, which is a source of great civic pride.
Oh, I love it. Good time, yeah. Putting everything together, and it's a lot of work, and everything seems to come together every year, so it's pretty good.
You like catfish?
I love it. You have to for this job.
Are you fond of catfish?
Oh, yeah, I love catfish. I like to catch them and eat them.
Watching how much you take.
Mountains of fish will be consumed this day, a day that starts with a parade.
These are the old retired firemen that are getting here.
The retired volunteers lead it off. It's a day for all things fish that brings families and a community together.
Grant County Social Services. The next float that'll be coming around the corner is the Catfish Queen Float. All of these young princesses will be candidates for the Queen Contest. Crowning will be at 12 o'clock.
Tyler Langmeyer, could you please come up to the DJ stand? Tyler Langmeyer?
It's a day for making memories, centered around a fish and town pride. There is a contest for Little Miss Catfish Queen.
Wave like this at him when he sees your name, okay?
And I believe one of these ladies here is going to be right now. Kyla Langmeyer. Kyle Langmeyer again is going to receive a $50 savings bond.
What's your favorite kind of fish?
Of course, not everyone is catfish crazy.
How long have you been doing this?
8 years.
Enjoy it?
No.
Too much work, huh?
Yes, it is. Enthusiastic as I get.
Yeah, there's a lot of hours involved. I hate to guess the hundreds of hours put in down here, but this is part of the volunteer tradition of the town, and we want to keep it up.
Part of the town, part of the tradition. For over 30 years, Potosi has set aside this day to celebrate their home, to make some memories, to remind each other of their shared connections to their community and the river, and the ways in which fishing plays a part in that. For those who live here, or those who visit, time spent fishing creates a tie to a place and a time. A warm August night on the Mississippi. On the landing, just a mile from Potosi, this couple caught a sunset. No matter whether it's the height of summer or the heart of winter, there's something special that can happen when people go fishing.
Come on, you fishies.
It's more than the anticipation, the successes, the promise of future treasures. Somehow, a passion starts up.
Live for it. It's in our blood.
A passion that has more to do with place and process than the catch.
Within a very short amount of time, you have forgotten everything else that's going on. And your mind clears, and you cannot focus on anything else but what you're doing. When you're fishing, what you're seeing and smelling and hearing. What better way to spend an afternoon than out in a place like this?
In places like this, across Wisconsin, in all kinds of weather, in all the seasons of the year,
I like the idea of being out there. My incisors can relax and open up and kind of, you feel that big breath come out.
It's all about the chance. The chance to be out here.
Ready, Gridley?
And what might happen in that precious piece of time spent gone fishing.
Major funding for Gone Fishing is provided in part by the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. Wisconsin offers anglers 15,000 inland lakes, two Great Lakes, the Mississippi River, 33,000 miles of streams and rivers, and abundant populations of fish. The Wisconsin Department of Tourism has information to make everyone's time on the water the time of their life. And by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, managing Wisconsin's lakes, rivers, and streams for the fish within them and anglers from near and afar.